Thanks, guys. All right. So last week we asked the question in our Christmas series, Advent series that we're doing, Home for Christmas. We asked the question, what does home mean for you? If you have a place that you call home, and many don't, of course, but if you have a place that you call home, we said last week that you still, in this world, live as exiles. Live as exiles. You may have a home here, but it's not your home, right? We introduced our Advent series last week, and we are walking through, we're walking through the traditional Advent themes of hope, we talked about last week, peace, we're talking about today, joy, next week, and then love. And these, we said last week, they are the very things that were found in our original home, in the Garden of Eden, in the presence of God. But since human sin came into this world, and with it brought death and decay, because of our rebellion against God, we have been cut off from our home. We've been cut off from our home in the presence of God. And we live in this broken world as exiles and refugees, trying to find our way home. Jesus came. We celebrate his coming at this season. But the reason that he came was to reconcile us to the Father and make a way for us to return home. Amen? Home is a Bible word with a lot of important significance. We're gonna talk about the household of God. You and I, when we come to Christ, we are adopted by the Father. He puts his Spirit in us, and the Bible says his Spirit inside of us cries out, "Abba, Father." We sense that connection to him, and he's put that deposit of heaven. That we're on a layaway plan, folks. He's put a deposit of heaven in our souls to prepare us for heaven. And we become a part of the household of God. And this word home or house in excuse me, in the Old Testament is the word bayit in Hebrew, and in the New Testament it is the word oikos in Greek. And both of these words are very significant in the story of the Bible, in how we understand the way that God works among us in this world. In the Old Testament, word bayit, it's actually the word Bethlehem. Bayit Lehem is Hebrew. Bethlehem. For the house of bread. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the manna that comes down from heaven." His birthplace declared that Jesus came into this world to give us food that nothing in this world could give us. Amen? But this word, bayit, it refers to a physical structure, a house, but it can also It can also talk about a household, a family. It can talk about the lineage of a family. It can symbolize a place of refuge, a community or place of worship. In ancient Israelite culture, the concept of Beit extended beyond mere physical structure of a house, but it represented the center of family life, the center of social identity, and of religious practice. Your Beit was where you belong. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about ancient Hebrew weddings, Jewish weddings. And if you remember, we talked about how the bridegroom would go back to his father's house after the betrothal happened. He'd go back to his father's house for a year, and he would spend that year preparing a dwelling place for his bride and himself. But he would do it in his father's beit, in his father's home, in his house. They would have a compound that would include multi-generations of people that would live together in community and connection because they were under the blessing and the protection of the Father. The New Testament word, oikos, very similar. It's used both literally for a home, but also metaphorically and symbolically of a place of safety, a place of community, a place of family relationship. In the ancient Greco-Roman world, the concept of oikos was central to the social and economic life. A household often included not just the nuclear family, but extended family members, servants, and sometimes the business operations of the family. The oikos, the household, the home, was a place of hospitality and community gatherings. Showed the importance of family in that culture and society. So when we're told in the scriptures that when we come to Christ, we become part of the oikos of God, the household of God. We have a place where we belong with Him. Amen? We are His family. And just as the Jewish families would get their protection and blessing from their fathers, we get ours from our Heavenly Father. Amen? And so home is a place where one belongs. Belongs in a family where they find support and help and peace. And a place to contribute to the family as they do life together and they work together. Jaslyn, come on up. This is Jaslyn, our intern. Also my niece. Here you go. And Jaslyn, this at the beginning of November, something not very fun happened for you. And you've said you're being a good sport today. You've said you're willing to tell us what that was. What happened to you at the beginning of November?
So, hello. Okay, there we go. So at the beginning of November, actually on Halloween night, I was broken up with by the person that I thought I was going to marry. It was a really difficult time. The next day, we were taking a student to NYC, Maritime Youth Convention. So that just had to keep going. So yeah, that's what happened. It was very out of the blue, and yeah, so that's what happened.
Yeah, that's rough. Everybody say aw. There you go. So yeah, that's really tough. I don't share this today just to be like Jerry Springer, for those of you who remember who that is, which is most of you in the room. Most of you are old enough to remember Jerry Springer. But it's not just for, to share a sob story. But Jaslyn, you, this happened. You didn't even tell us about it that night.
I had to, like, I was like, if I'm going to go take a student to this conference, I got to stay, like, locked in to do this.
So you put it on the shelf for the moment and went off to youth convention. But while you were there, you sent me a text and you made a request. Do you remember what that request was?
I said, I think that I just need to go home to my people for a little bit to heal.
Yeah. And so we gave Jaslyn, she went for about a week and a half or a bit, and she jumped on a plane, flew home, and spent some time at home with her people, right? Why do you feel that that was the place to find healing and help?
I do love it here, by the way. my family is very close, and so I do consider my house and my family my home. In order to be able to just be so, like, vulnerable and open with all of my feelings, my confusion and my hurt and my anger and all of the feelings and disappointment, like, I had to be with my people to be able to just be completely unapologetically just me and how I was feeling and just let it all out.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jaslyn. I really appreciate you sharing that. Thank you. Yeah, so I just thought it was important for you to hear that little parable for us this morning of the fact that our home is our Heavenly Father. And that there is something special and unique about the fact that the place we find healing, the place we find hope, the place we find the strength to get up and go again, the place we find we get back to our place of peace and joy and life and strength, for Jaslyn was home. And I believe for us, it is our Heavenly Father. He is our home. He is our place of healing and help and strength and life and peace. Amen? And so for Jaslyn to be able to find a way back to her peace was disrupted just a little bit, right? And to find her way back to her peace, she needed to get home. Now, for many of us, we can think about either our home growing up or our home, whatever it is now, and we can think about it as our place of peace. Maybe for some of you, that's your sanctuary. You go home after a rough day, and that's your place to recharge and recover. For some of us, you may not have found that your home was a place of peace. But I want you to know today that peace is one of the defining attributes of the household of God. One of the defining attributes of the household of God. He is our place of peace. Isaiah 9, one of the Christmas passages we read every year, lists some titles of Jesus, but one of them is that he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And in fact, Romans 14, verse 17, tells us that his kingdom as prince, as king, his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? His kingdom, the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, his kingdom is a kingdom of peace. His domain, the domain of Jesus, is peace, folks. Jesus has never lost his grip on peace. No matter what came at him, no matter what he walked through when he was on this earth, no matter what goes through his divine mind when he looks at the mess of the world right now, Jesus has never lost his peace. He's never been discouraged, defeated, dejected, or depressed. He is peace itself, and everywhere he goes, peace follows him. Amen? The Bible word peace, especially in the Old Testament, is this word shalom. In fact, Hebrew-speaking Jewish people today use this as a hello and goodbye when they greet each other. Shalom. In fact, many people around the world, whether they're Jewish or not, use this as a greeting. Shalom. And this word shalom, it doesn't just mean, you know, our English word peace can sometimes be really flat. Peace. Oh, you know, we have a ceasefire in a war, and that's called peace. And that's what we think of when we think of peace. But peace, Bible peace, God peace, is so much more than that. This word shalom, it talks about wholeness, being healed and whole. Right? All the broken pieces of our lives put back together. It talks about calm. It talks about our well-being, being in a state of knowing that everything in your life is going to be okay. Belonging, internally ordered, being at peace within. Right? This word shalom is very rich and powerful. And Jesus is our Prince of Shalom, Prince of Peace. And Jesus is in fact a perfect reflection of the Father. When the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace, it's because our Heavenly Father, is the God of peace. And we read this again and again and again in the Scriptures. Peace is not just something God has, it is who He is. He is peace. He is the God of peace. Let's walk through some scriptures together. Philippians 4, 7 to 9. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, so we're to give Him our anxious thoughts, the things, the burdens in our heart with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's verse 7. And then verse 9 says, Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the God of peace will be with you. Right? Romans 15, 33. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. And then again, a few verses later in Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Sometimes peace is only on the other side of a battle. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Right? He will bring you into victory over the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. And he will bring you to a place of peace and victory. Amen? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration in the body, in the family, right? We want to see everybody restored and in healthy relationship. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. We are people of peace because we serve the God of peace. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. The word sanctify is a big theological word. It means to be completely made His. Right? That we're completely His. That we're made completely set apart for Him. And so, it is through His peace that He does that work in our lives. He brings us into a place of peace. You and I are meant to live in peace. And if we're not living in peace, something is off. Something is out of sync. Right? And it's our calling to come back to Him. Come back to Him and find our place of peace in Him. We're not done. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Christ Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Wow. Wow. It is His peace that caused Him to want to reconcile us to Himself through the blood of Jesus. It is His peace that caused Him to raise Jesus from the dead. It is His peace that sends Jesus into our lives as the great shepherd to lead us and help us as we walk in peace. And 2 Thessalonians 3:16, one of the 3:16 passages in the New Testament. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Wow. When we live in His kingdom of peace, and we truly let Him be the Prince of Peace in our lives and in our hearts, His desire is to give you peace at all times and in every way. Wow. Jesus said in John 14:27, He said, "Peace I leave with you." Now remember, this is Jesus is spending His last meal with His disciples. He's told them He's going to the cross. They don't get it, but He's told them He's going to the cross. They're disturbed. They're confused. They're you know, what's Jesus? Where are you going? What do you mean? And in the midst of all of that, Jesus says, "My peace, peace I leave with you. My peace. My peace." Not some peace that you can try to gain by getting all your ducks in a row. Because as soon as this duck's in a row, this one gets out of the row, right? Like we try to create peace in our lives by ordering the world around us. And I've got bad news for you. You're never going to accomplish it if that's your goal, right? But we need the peace of His peace, that no matter what's going on with our ducks, that our hearts are in a state of peace, in a place of peace, right? My peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid, Jesus said. Jesus is never shaken. His peace, he's never shaken. He's never discombobulated, frustrated, flabbergasted, or distraught. Right? He's never thrown off. He never has a rough day. He is always in a state of shalom, and he never loses it. And so when we keep our heart and our eyes and our minds fixed on Jesus, we can live with undisturbable peace in this world. Life with Jesus, and I say this maybe especially today to anyone in the room or anyone listening online who doesn't yet know the peace of God, who has not yet put your faith in Christ and found your hope and your forgiveness and your life in him, I say this to you today, that life with Jesus is to know the peace that passes understanding in our lives. That when circumstances explode around us, we don't have to explode. We are able to experience a peace that makes no sense to the people who are watching our lives. I remember maybe the greatest example of this I've experienced in 31 years of pastoral ministry. Was in 2010 when a couple in our church got up in the morning to find their 18-year-old son had hung himself overnight in the basement. One of the most tragic things that we've dealt with, one of the most tragic funerals I've done. And yet when I walked into the funeral home, the peace that exuded from the father and mother was palpable, was tangible, was incredible. Because even though they'd experienced the worst thing that a parent could experience, peace of God was on them and in them and through them. And they've gone from there to travel all over encouraging parents, talking to students about mental health issues. God has used them because the peace of God carried them through the darkest moments. Jesus calls us, lastly, this morning. We're almost ready for turkey. It's okay. Jesus calls us to a path of peace. These words come from the song of Zechariah, the father of who we know as John the Baptist. John the Baptist that was a cousin of Jesus that grew up and paved the way, prepared the way for Jesus' ministry, life and ministry. And when Zechariah was dedicating his son, he had been mute since he found out about the conception that he was going to have a son. But at his dedication, his mouth was opened and he sang a song a Holy Spirit-inspired brand new song that came pouring out of his heart. In the last words of that song, he speaks of the one that his son would prepare the way for. And that he comes, quote, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Folks, before we know Christ, we are those who are living in darkness and in the shadow of death. But when Jesus comes into our life, he not only shines his light on us, but he leads us into the path of peace, a new way of living, a new kind of living in this world, a new kind of walking through this world in a different way, in the path of peace. And we are called to live in peace for us and for our families. And we are called, the Bible tells us, so we are not only called to live in peace internally, in our hearts and in our families, but we are called to be makers of peace in the world around us. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I have to say on a regular basis to my grandsons, be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Right? I have to say regularly to people that I pastor, be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Right? That we would work towards shalom in our lives, in our families, in our church, and in our relationships around us. That in fact, God wants us to spill peace on the people that we encounter. I pray. I'm so thankful that we've had the opportunity to open our doors for the warming shelter. And, you know, it's a work in progress. There's still stuff, you know, it's getting things functioning the way they're supposed to. It's a process. And thank you for your patience with us as all of that comes together. But I pray that in the midst of all of it, that there would be those on whom peace spills on them. That in the midst of it, they find hope in Christ. That the workers, amen. I've met at least 5 of the workers so far, and they're great people, but I pray that in the midst of our interactions with them, the peace would spill on them. That as you go shopping and doing the things that you're doing in this season, as you spend time with your families, maybe pulling your hair out, but in the midst of it, that you would spill some peace on them. That you wouldn't get sucked into emotional battles, but that you'd rise above it with the peace of Jesus, walking the path of peace, and that you would spill it on those around you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. I know you all just want to get down there and eat some turkey, so we're going to pray. We're going to pray. I will hang around here a little bit if somebody wants prayer for something. But we're going to close the service. I want to pray for you. Because As much as it doesn't maybe make sense, there are times when we have to fight for peace. We have to contend for peace, even within ourselves. Just last Sunday before the service, I wasn't, for the first time in a long time, I wasn't on the worship team Sunday last week. And while the team was doing their sound check and rehearsal time Sunday morning, I was in my office. And man, the enemy just started pounding me. You ever have those moments where you just feel like he just wants to crush me right now? He's coming at me. It was an attack of the enemy. I was experiencing anxiety and just all this stuff just coming at me. And then something inside me said, not today. Not today. Not today. And I just started to contend in prayer, just started pressing in, contending in prayer, praising the Lord, lifting him up. Just began worship in my office, just pacing my office, just calling on the Lord. And I just experienced such a breakthrough of peace in that moment. God gave me everything I needed for the service last week. And we experienced a powerful move of the Spirit among us as we worshiped. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we're so quick to just let those things wash over us and defeat us and discourage us. But we are meant to live in peace. And sometimes we have to contend for it, folks. Amen? So, Father, I pray for every person in this room. I pray for every person watching online. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for, God, the path of peace that you have created for them. I pray, Father, if there are those who don't yet know the peace of God in their lives, who don't yet know you as Savior and Lord, that today they would recognize what you have come to do for them. Today they would give their lives to you and find in you the peace of the home where they belong, the place of peace where they belong. And I pray that today you would move in our lives, that God, you would make us in this season to be ambassadors of peace, to carry peace in our lives, that we would spill it on others. That as we walk through this season and as we walk through this world, we would be people of peace, people of shalom. We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Let peace reign. Amen. It's been going through my spirit as the pastor was preaching. Let peace reign. And the altars are open for anyone who would like to come. Perhaps you have a need that you would like prayer for. And maybe you're someone here today that has never experienced the peace of God, never experienced his forgiveness. I want to let you know it's real. It's real. So the altars are open for anyone who would like to come and spend some time in prayer. And as the pastor said, turkey is ready. We'd love to have you all come. God bless you.